Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball. Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
And good afternoon, everybody. The Sunday Sin Bin on Triple M is brought to you by Sea-Doo. See things differently with Sea-Doo. It's a beautiful Sydney day, and it's a little chilly, but it's a beautiful blue sky. And Parramatta Stadium, or as we call it now, Bankwest Stadium, is a wonderful facility, and that's where we are live today. Manly 50, Cowboys 18 over the weekend. Sharks beat the Panthers 19-18. Roosters 35 over the Titans 34 up there at Fortress Robina. Rabbitohs 24, Knights 10, 3 tries to AJ. Raiders 38, Broncos 16. We'll start on that one shortly. Today it's Warriors Storm, it's Para Tigers, tomorrow Dogs Dragons. And we've got all that coming up. Let me start by saying g'day to everybody. Gordon Tallis, welcome to you.
Good afternoon, Anthony. Good afternoon and to all the listeners.
The feel-good story coming out of Origin was I said, I haven't exercised for a few days. I'll walk from the centre of Townsville to the airport with my luggage. When your good friend from Thrifty Rent-A-Car, George Gaddis, spots me, pulls over in the Kia and gives me a lift to the airport.
Georgie Gaddis, he told me that story.
Yeah.
He actually rang me and said, your mate, I spotted this derelict on the side of the road struggling that you walked from the Commonwealth Hotel. Was it the Commonwealth?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, the Commonwealth Hotel. So that's not the centre of town. Yep. That's right over the other side of town. You thought you'd walk to the airport in, what, 27, 28 degrees?
Yep.
And he saw you struggling.
He did.
So he pulled over and he thought that he saved your life. It looked like you're going to have a heart attack because the routine wasn't working that well. And you didn't even offer him anything. No thanks, just got out of the car.
Well, I said I'll rent a thrifty car next time I'm here. First, I had to qualify that he wasn't Queensland's Ivan Milat, but that was all okay and we got in the car.
Georgie Gaddis, good fella.
Paul Kent, welcome to you.
Thanks, Anthony. Finally made the show.
Yeah.
Nice to be here. Good day here. Nice blue sky like it was in Townsville.
Yeah, it's absolutely
blue.
Yeah, it's blue all over the place. We're going to talk about that game shortly from Fox League as well. One of Sydney's great rugby league writers, the great James Triceps Hooper, welcome to you.
Afternoon, Anthony.
And what have you been up to, mate? You've had a good weekend with the kids?
Did you have the Zimmer frame with the South Sydney trim when Georgie Gaddis helped you out up in Townsville? Or?
Yeah, I chucked it in the back of the Kia. I've left it there too, Georgie, if you could freight it down to me.
But you go up there for a rort, right? Yeah. You go up there for a rort, you do your little cashy the night before.
Yeah.
Some bloke offers you a lift to the airport. Mm. And you don't even sling him $20.
Well, I did. I thought I was going to, but I thought that might be rude. You know, I thought that. And
but you just make the offer, mate. That's what it's about.
But Paul, from where I was to the airport, I could have bloody rented a limo for $20 to take me to the airport. Now, just to be clear,
why take the lift then?
Well, mate, I needed the lift. I was out of petrol. I was going to miss the plane. I was carrying my suit in one hand, my overnight bag in the other that's got my good bloody Spinalese pillow in it, and I was trying to lug it all to the airport. And next
and
minute,
your koala mattress on your back.
So anyway, thank you, George. All right, boys, a lot of serious matters in rugby league, which we better get to. Firstly, yesterday the Raiders, I think, won their second game from 9 starts when they beat the Broncos 38-16. But the big talk to come out of that game is the Kobe Hetherington send-off. I'll play you the Kevvy Walters audio of the Kobe Hetherington send-off, and then we'll open it up to you, bloke. So here's Kevvy.
Yeah, it's a bit hard, but you know that's the game we're in at the moment. So we just got to cop it the way we have and get on with things.
Mm. There needs to be some kind of leeway because obviously, you know, Kobe, where was he meant to go when Corey?
Yeah, well, he couldn't go anywhere. So, but again, if it's when you're attacking the head, regardless of, we're not attacking the head, but when you make contact with the head, regardless of the situation, that's what we're trying to remove from the game. So, if you look at it that way, yeah. Oh, no, not sure if it was a send-off, though. There's no intent from Kobe to do anything except make the tackle.
Yeah, I felt real sorry for the kid. It definitely wasn't a send-off. How do you see it, Hoops?
Yeah, complete joke. I thought the referee, Chris Sutton, really lost his bottle. The fact that he sent Kobe Hetherington off
altogether. I think people could have accepted the sin bin. We all understand the crackdown and where the rules sit at the moment. But I think the fact that there was an ankle tap involved, there was no way he could have changed his trajectory in that split second moment that he had. And for it to be a send-off, I just thought it was the wrong call.
It's a perfect case of accidents happen in our game.
Exactly, Gordon.
He couldn't control where he was going, and that's the ball carrier. And the guy that is tackling him probably would have hit him in the chest if he stays upright. So he can't react that quick.
Bad luck. That's his fault.
Who?
If he can't react that quick, he shouldn't be in that position.
Oh, come on, Kenny, you played footy, mate.
This is the whole point. If he had his target zone...
So you're saying it should have been a send-off.
His target zone was around
his head. Look, I've got no doubt it was a tough call, right? No doubt it was a tough call. But the fact that everyone, with the benefit of hindsight, sits down and says, oh, they should have done this, and splits hairs over all the different angles they've seen. The referee made a call on the run. Okay, I don't particularly believe he got it right, but I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for the tackle and make excuses for these people who think it shouldn't have been a send-off. The ref made a call. Live with it.
Paul, I think the players have done a fantastic job of lowering their targets. I reckon they've lowered it about a foot.
And Kobe Heatherington and didn't.
Yes, because he dropped 2 feet. He drops 2 feet.
He doesn't drop 2 feet, please.
Mate,
there's no doubt he tripped and he was on his way down. But you cannot argue with me that if he actually had a lower target zone, he wouldn't have hit him in the face.
If that bloke doesn't lose his feet, where does he hit him?
He might have hit him on the ball. That's what they're trying to get rid of. They're trying to get rid of these tackles on the ball, which are 50-50 calls. That's the way it's going. There's too many target zone being the ball area where the players are either going, and let's remember, it's a rounded surface. So when you hit it, you either go hit it and go up or you hit it and go down. Too many are hitting it and going up. If he had a lower target zone, when he tripped, he would have fallen into his arms. I got no problem with the referee. Look, I don't necessarily agree that it was a send-off like most people, but the fact is the referee made a call on the run. Live with it. We just sit and bitch and moan about the way it is in hindsight all the time. Fact is, it's a decision made on the field. Just live with it. Don't sit there now and have to rewrite the whole rule book because you don't like one tackle.
No one wants to rewrite the whole rule book.
They just got that decision wrong. It's as simple as that. That there is not a stand-off. It's never been a stand-off.
Let's live with the move. Look, Kevy, I thought was quite adult in his response to it. Yeah, I think he acknowledged what the game is trying to do. And at some point, Gordon, this is not going to be an overnight fix. I was watching the games this morning, okay, and I watched that send-off, and I replayed it a couple of times, and there's no doubt the player was falling into it, and he'll probably get off at the judiciary, right? He'll probably, at the very worst...
Well, so he should after he got sent off.
Yeah, but let me say something. He also knocked the other bloke out.
Yes, right, and no one's arguing.
Well, hang on.
You're going on about bitching and moaning.
No, but let me say, because in 2 weeks' time, everybody forgets the hysteria of the actual tackle, they'll then change their point of the argument and they'll start arguing, oh, well, Canberra lost a player. Why shouldn't have Brisbane lost a player? We'll have that argument. The fact is it happened. Live with it.
Paul, the circumstances surrounding it are that Corey Harawira-Naira was ankle tap, which meant that then instead of him going in
but
upright
the referee
like he normally would have been, he's fallen. It's a split second. Hetherington's got his back bent to make a good, strong, solid copybook tackle, and the fact that he's fallen means he nearly decapitates him.
Right.
Maybe 10 in the bin, but it shouldn't have been a send-off.
Well, see, there
Can you
go.
Agree with
there
that?
You That we're arguing different shades of grey.
Oh, no.
That's what we
always argue.
Yeah, it's 50 shades.
No, you're
it's 50 shades that Anthony's.
It's the only time we maroon, yeah. Only time we get interested in conversation.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it was a decision made on the run, whether you agree with it or not. Like all these pelicans out there going, oh, the game's going. I've got all these dimwits that email me. They do two things. They abuse me, and then they go, mate, I'll never watch another game again, and I won't watch NRL 360 ever again. And I think good
then
riddance,
then they send
mate.
You another email next week.
But I just think good riddance, mate. I don't care. If you're such a dickhead that's the way you want to think and you're just going to be stuck there, and yeah, Tim Pickup died during the week from dementia.
Paul, no
there was a story
accepting.
Written in nine. I wrote about it the other day, only 4 or 5 weeks ago. Tim Pickup, a doctor, he got knocked out in the game, picked up, watered down with the magic sponge, sent back out, and the Peter Manolaris, who was, the Parramatta doctor at the time, came out and said, if this does not change, these guys are going to get brain damage. It didn't change.
No one's arguing.
Tim Pickup died of dementia.
No one's arguing. And no
Well, you are arguing.
No, mate, you can't blame dementia directly on rugby league. That's like, mate, I heard that about Steve Warner. My nan sat in a nursing home and never made a tackle.
Did she have concussion? She ever get knocked out?
No, I tell you, it would have been a brave man. I tell you, it would have been a brave man.
I don't mean
had a drink in her life, never smoked.
Yeah, but Gordon,
so, like, I'm not saying, Gordon, so, like, then we can't blame that.
Come on. Mate.
It might speed it up, but you can't blame rugby league for that.
You can't say you might speed it up, but you can't blame rugby league. If it speeds it up, then you've got to blame rugby league.
So everybody that plays rugby league now is going to get dementia.
Gordon, I'm not saying everybody that plays rugby league is going to get dementia. Bob Fulton died the other day, didn't have a lick of dementia in him.
Yeah, and he's played long and tough as anybody.
Absolutely. But let me also say this. There is a clear evidence, medical evidence, that concussions increase the risk of dementia.
Yep.
Increase the risk. Not some people, and this is the bit that people are not grabbing onto when they say, oh, you can't play in rugby league. You are, in many ways, most people are genetically prone to having dementia or not. If it's hereditary, if your grandparents got it, you're a higher likelihood of getting it. But the fact is, that is one indicator of whether you're a chance of getting dementia, whether it's hereditary or not, whether you've got it in your family. Another, though, is concussions playing rugby league. Another is alcohol and drug abuse. They are all contributors. So people can't sit and say that rugby league, you know, is not going to give them that. There's no clear evidence that it will give them that. And there's no clear evidence that if they do get it, it was rugby league that caused it. But there's clear evidence that the many people who get concussed have more dementia than people who don't. And that's the pool you've got to look at. So that's why we've got to actually sit there and respect the conversation. And you know what? If Kobe Hetherington, next time he runs out, lowers his target zone by a couple of inches so he doesn't fall prone to that again, I've got no problem.
Then he won't be playing first grade because he'll tackle too low.
He had his back bent, Gordon.
If he goes any lower, I'm going to run over him and I'm going to fall on my gut. Correct. I'm going to get up and play the ball, and he will not play because he doesn't dominate.
Well, you know what?
So that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
If Harawira and I didn't get ankle tripped, we're not having this argument. That was a huge element of why he ended up getting hit in the head.
Accidents do happen, and we got to say that's an accident.
Okay, right.
That can't be avoided.
So where in the rule book does it say accidents are okay?
It doesn't say
nowhere, right? No one's arguing that. What we're saying is it shouldn't have been a send-off. Even you agree with that. It shouldn't have been. The send-off was over.
Oh, look, I've got no doubt.
It was excessive.
I've got no
doubt. If he gets 10 in the bin, we're not blowing up like we are now.
Yeah, but you know what? This is the other part to it. We're all conditioned these days in this generation of football of two things. One, that sort of tackle is okay. And two, that high tackles and concussions are okay and just part of the game. If you go back 20 years to when Gordon was playing, there was never tackles. Any tackle where you clipped the bloke in the head and clearly with some force, and let's remember, there was force in the tackle. He made no effort. You can argue it's split second, all that, right? Mm. I'm not going to cop a person trying to defend a tackle like that saying it's split second, he couldn't have changed his body or anything like that, when the same people later in the show will talk about the athleticism of some winger sitting in the corner who makes a decision also in a split second to score a try, and everyone goes, oh, what a genius. Mm. How good's this guy? What a freak. What about his ability to do that? So you can change it when you're going to score a try. You just can't change it when you're about to knock a bloke cold.
Mm.
Like, you can't have it both ways.
Right. I don't think you can argue, though, that Kobe Hetherington deliberately decided,
you're giving me concussion.
I'm starting to get a bit dizzy trying to listen to your argument.
That's the problem I've got, Anthony. I've got these morons, right? Yeah. See, I've got these people who are incapable of changing how they think.
What else is on the agenda?
The game has to change the way it thinks. Otherwise, it will die.
Boys, just let me in there for a second. Grade one high tackle, careless. He will receive a fine. That's hot off the press.
There you go.
That's Hetherington it. Right.
Will receive a fine.
So that underlines the fact that it shouldn't have been a send off. Yeah. Clearly.
All right. Well, look, we'll
leave it at that.
Or it was deemed punishment enough.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, punishment enough.
Yeah.
But you're going to cop that? No, you won't.
Boys, what about the other?
Oh my God, he's got a bee in his bonnet today, yeah. And I love it.
Well, how do you feel if you're me? You're all turning on each other. This is great.
You know what that means, don't you? You know what that means.
Coming your way soon. We'll, mate, we'll go inside, sing Kumbaya, and we're coming back in to get you.
All right, boys, that was the second win for the Raiders in the last nine starts. Still, they find themselves only, well, they find themselves on equal points with the team that's coming eight. The next couple of games, they've got the Dragons coming up, they've got the Titans coming up. Are the Raiders gone, do you think, Hoops?
Oh, no, it's too early to say at this stage. It was a step in the right direction last night. I think you listened to Ricky Stewart at the press conference afterwards and he spoke about the fact that sometimes, you know, players just need to get that winning feeling back and be out there having fun and remember what it's like when everything is gelling and things are cohesive. And Josh Hodgson played great. Jack Whiten played great. Papali'i was on fire in the middle of the field. And so it just helps you. I think Ricky used the word mojo, which I yeah. know that you're a big fan of mojo, Anthony.
Yeah.
And the Raiders took a step in the right direction towards getting theirs back last night.
And what about the Broncos? Again, they leaked 38 points. You know, it's hard to make a comparison, Gordy, of your old side, the Broncos, between this year and last year. But certainly it's not getting better in a hurry.
No, it's not. And obviously the guys that were there last year was a bigger job. Obviously the confidence is pretty much out of the joint. So, it's a bit like most sides out there. When something goes against them, they're just the ability to bite down and just hang in there for, you know, 10, 20, 30, maybe 50 tackles when things aren't going your way and go five or eight sets and try to get in that arm wrestle, they just can't do it.
See, Gordy, the other day I said the Broncos' DNA is dead, and then I noticed on Thursday night you got asked that about that, and you said, no, it's still there, still there. To me, the Broncos' DNA was they never quit. It's not back. There's no way. The Broncos' DNA was they hung in and they fought no matter what the scoreline was, no matter how badly they were getting beaten, they continued to fight. And, mate, this team, mate, all they're looking for is the white flag to go up so they can get back in the dressing room and say, you know what, well, we tried hard for 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, we tried hard for 20 minutes. We gave it a good shot. You know, they're in danger. The Broncos are becoming like the old Western Suburbs Magpies used to be, or more specifically, the better example, the old North Sydney Bears. Remember the old North Sydney Bears used to go out, play really good for 70 minutes, really give it to the premiers or the grand finals from the year before, and then they blow it in the last 10 minutes, yeah. let a couple of really soft tries in. But instead of everyone going, mate, that's heartbreaking, mate, that's just a really poor performance, everyone go, gee, you give it to them for 70 minutes, yeah. Mate, you nearly had them. Mm. That's a sympathy vote. That's where the Broncos are heading. The Broncos, the DNA of the Broncos never having quit in them, which Wayne Bennett put in there, and it was there as long as Wayne Bennett was there, and it disappeared in the years after he left. That's still there, mate. They are not in the
players that I've ever played with. We got the number one guy that never quit there.
Kevin, yeah. Oh, mate,
in charge.
So
we got this run, and it's 8.5 k's, it's through the hills, it's at the gap.
But Gordy,
the toughest run, he holds the record. Don't that little fat freckle kid fool you? He had more mental toughness on turning up for plays. He's just got to get the roster, but he can't turn the roster over.
There's nothing to build on there. He's got to start again. That's why it's not there.
He's trying to get the right people.
No, there's
there.
No doubt. He's doing it.
He started again by signing Reynolds
But that's my point. My point is he's got to go out and find blokes who, no matter what the score is, blokes like who I love to death, Dale Finucane.
Yeah.
You watch Dale Finucane play, you've got no idea what the scoreline is.
Yeah, they don't know whether they're beaten.
No, it's the same whether they're getting the head by 30, head by 2, down by 8, down by 16. That's what the Broncos need to get in the
Terry door. Lamb was one of those players.
Mm-hmm. Terry Lamb
just on every single play, he was there. Like, you didn't Jonathan Thurston, Kevy, Alf, all the great players, you just... If you turn it on and you watch them compete, you don't know the score. You don't know whether they're beaten or not.
Some of the Broncos individuals last night, Gordon, looked as though they've got a lot of things on their mind at the moment, aside from football as well. Like, we know that Kevy's trying to overhaul the roster. Matt Lodge is a player who has been in the headlines all year, linked with Newcastle. That seems to have stalled at the moment. But he has been told that if he can find somewhere else, then he is free to go. Tevita Pangai is another one who last night seemed to be floating in and out of the game as though his head might be a little bit elsewhere.
You either earn the money with the club that you're at and change their opinion of you, or your stocks go up somewhere else. You are a commodity. You are.
Mm.
You're in charge of your own performance. That's the greatest thing. No one else is in charge of you.
Yeah.
Once he steps over that white line after the game plan and
you're representing yourself.
You're representing yourself. You tell me how they're representing themselves.
Yep. Not great long last
right.
night.
So then you watch Cronulla play the other night, and Aaron Woods has been told the same thing, and Sean Johnson. They got the job done against Penrith.
Yeah.
Aaron Woods at half time had something like 130 metres and 30 carries. He didn't have that the week because, you know what? He's been told, get on your bike, soldier. And do you know what he's done? Pulled the finger out of the old blurter and started having a go.
Yeah, he had a go on the show last week too, actually, when he came in as a late replacement for...
Yeah. And that's, so you know what I mean? And
you might need to be careful.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, and sometimes you get in the comfort zone, and we've all been there. Yeah, you know, Paul's been there for 5 years.
Oh, so really? Who's the bloke that had last weekend off so he could get on the beers?
Hey.
As I said, Woody came in and was exceptional.
Mate, what I wanted
was
a couple
of looking to see how
Romanic strolls along the beach.
Yeah, we're trying to figure
Portugal.
Out what...
little Kong Wong.
Don't Sorry, bring Paul. Me into it.
Mate, why did your face light up so much when Gordon mentioned about he pulled the finger out of the blurter?
No, that was good.
No, I know, but the look on your face.
Well, you don't hear the word blurter much on. I like, it's a good word, blurter, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, Gordon's right. Like, players have got to do that, though. Yeah. And we've seen that already with some players are responding the way. Look at Matt Dufty after he got told. He's gone out and put on a couple of cracking games.
Mm. Yeah.
And he's selling himself. And this is, the Broncos want to get their DNA back. Like, last night was poor. That was such a disappointing performance. And that's something that I think that's gone out of the game. And you talk to coaches about it and you ask them why that resilience in their effort is not there and why it only takes one or two tries. Even the Roosters last night put on a cracking first half and then just went to sleep. And you sort of get that. But teams just quitting because they just don't have the appetite for battle.
Mm.
And that's feeling not in like place. Doing it. And that's, Tevita Pangai Jr., I watch him closely. And for all those listeners, I judge them on what they've shown me. I don't judge them on somebody else. I judge them on how they play and the level that they have got to. And then I judge them on the effort every week. Because if you can play like that one week, why can't you play like that the next and the next?
And that's the issue, Gord.
And that's the issue.
But that's in the mental training and that's in the preparation for the game. And players, it's a fascinating thing because a lot of people say to you, okay, it's just the modern generation, okay? It's just what kids are like these days. But you watch the same age kids play European soccer or you watch them play in the NFL, they don't have the ups and downs like our guys do. I think our guys are mollycoddled too much. And there's just this acceptance. And because it's so volatile in industry coaching, that the every coach's main priority at his club...
Keep the players happy.
I was going to say winning is the first, but second to that is keeping the players happy. Because the minute there's a little group of players start to bitch and moan and say, oh, look, he's no good, the coach is nearly on the way out. Okay? Yeah. And the minute the coach loses control of that conversation, he's on the way out. So there's so much... accommodating and so much just trying to indulge the players and keep them happy and keep them in their little happy space that the behaviour and the standards that they impose themselves are tolerated too often by coaches. The days Warren Ryan, who I think's the most intelligent coach who's ever coached the game, was a real hard taskmaster and was very tough on his players, but he educated them and he taught them how to win. And every time he coached, he won. He knew how to coach football. But he had a pretty poor bedside manner, but he didn't care. And the fact he got results meant he didn't have to care. But I wonder how he would go today coaching the game where there's no doubt the players would be learning a hell of a lot about footy. Even by the modern standard, he'd still be teaching them a hell of a lot. But by the same token, the minute one guy gets a hurt feeling, Wayne Bennett always says, for example, back in his day when he was coaching younger, he used to say to a bloke, mate, you're dropped. You're going to go down. He said the first thing that player would do, they'd go out, they go back to reserve grade, and they'd play like they wanted to prove a point to you.
Yes.
Whereas now you call a player and you go, mate, you're dropped. He goes in the dressing room, rings his manager and says, mate, find me another club. There's no, I'm going to show you you're wrong. I'm going to go out and I'm going to bust my backside and I'm going to have a big cracking game. So next week you have to put me back in first grade. It's kicking stones, ring your manager. The manager loves it, mate, because you know what he does? He's on 400,000. So he rings around and he goes, mate, he's unhappy where he's at. Mate, for five we'll go. Will you give us five?
And another
and some idiot club will go, you know what? Yeah, we'll give him five.
But I said that a couple of years ago about Ryan Madison, and take him out of it. It was that player. That player that's in the middle of the road that was at the Tigers, he was on the scrap heap at the Roosters, got to the Tigers, and there was a chance the game grew up. I sat out a season. I sat out a season, and I don't hold anybody accountable except myself. I'm the one that made the decision. But the Dragons wouldn't budge.
Yep.
Because they were strong in the head office, and they said, no, mate, if you don't want to play, sit out. That's like 20-something years.
They got applauded for that, Gordy.
What other board has made that decision?
See, now what the clubs will do is they'll go, because yeah, you didn't get paid that year, did you? No. Saints didn't pay you. But see, the clubs now go, all right, we'll try and get out of it. We'll do a deal with someone. We'll get them to pay some compensation back or whatever. I'm with Gordy. I think it's too easy now for players to break contracts. And it's the other part is, like, you got 11,000 St. George Illawarra fans signing a petition to keep Matt Duffy. Mm. Seriously. What are they watching? What sort of game are they watching?
They're watching him put points on.
But do they watch the fact that...
I understand the defensive... I get it.
But that's half the game.
I tell you what...
They don't see that.
But they like him because he scores them points.
But you know what?
He creates opportunity.
He's a flat-track bully. He'll tear the Broncos apart. He'll tear...
Dogs.
The Dogs apart. You know, thanks for the help. He'll tear those teams apart. You put him up against Melbourne... You got to send a search party out for him.
All right, I take a break, boys. We'll get you a chance to splash some cold water on your face, Paul. And we'll come back and talk about Roosters and Titans. And the scores are all thanks to Tyre Power. Get the power of Australia's biggest independent stock take sale. It's on now, Tyre Power. Gordy, PK, Hoops, Maroon, as Triple M rocks the Sunday Sin Bin.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to Bankwest Stadium in beautiful Parramatta in Sydney, our hometown, for the game today. And the match of the day coming up at 4 o'clock is Parramatta taking on the West Tigers. At 2 o'clock today, we'll have a score updates for the Melbourne Warriors game as well. Now, if you are coming to this game at Bankwest Stadium, please buy your tickets online on your phone before you get here, because Josh and the management team are expecting a big roll-up of people buying tickets as they arrive. So save yourself some time and buy the tickets before you get here. Get them online to come and see what should be a good game this afternoon.
You back okay with Josh again now?
Why, mate?
Wasn't there an issue last time out here? You were into the party pies or something?
Oh, I think the issue was, and it's and I it hasn't been put to bed yet, because but I believe a member of our staff might have pilfered some pies, and it wasn't me, but I'll come back to that.
That's normally your forte.
Because I am blowing up deluxe about what happened here, and I will come back to this issue, because more important issues right now, the Roosters up there at Fortress Robina, the Roosters have beaten the Titans 35-34, Gordy. As usual, the Titans' defence was rock solid, but the Roosters just got them in the end 35-34. How did you see that game, Gordon?
It was a good game. I thought the Titans second half, it was like a game that the Roosters should have went on and won easy. And it was a typical game of two halves, a bit like Cronulla and Penrith, even though it was low scoring. You know, Penrith should never have been in the game, you know, but they had a chance of winning it. And I think that was the same as the Titans, you know, like early in the game. You know, the Roosters sort of scored a couple of tries early. I thought one of them was a double movement to Angus.
I thought that too.
Well, because when Kickow scored one on Friday night and it didn't get rewarded a try or awarded a try. So, but we weren't really in it. And then you go to the Titans in the second half when they started throwing the ball. I thought Peachy was good. Fogarty was good. And I really love watching Preston's young boy. That's his second game against two real good quality football sides. He just moves like his dad. He's light on, mate. Yeah. But when he feels into that body of his, God, he's going to be a great player.
What about the Roosters? It was incredible. And you have to... you know, pay them some respect for all the injuries and retirements they've had this year, but they keep on winning. Jarabaria Hargraves, his 250th NRL game yesterday, 244 games for the Roosters, and he played the 80 minutes, Paul, and he was inspirational.
Yeah, it was terrific. I also think you've got to pay tribute to the Roosters, the fact that they led so comfortably, allowed the Titans to come back and take the lead with, I think it was about 7-8 minutes to go, 34-30, and that they were able to come back and score a try and then a field goal. Like a lot of teams, when the momentum is going against them so heavily like that and there's an avalanche of points coming, it's very hard to arrest and turn around. But the Roosters have just got this really gutsy, gritty DNA at the club, and they you know, nearly too late, but they got there in the end. Yeah, the other thing I think we should also look at, Anthony, is the fact that, you know, everybody complains about these split weekends and what happens to, you know, footy during the Origin period. We had a couple of cracking games yesterday. Like, the Penrith game, I thought, was terrific.
Yes.
Yeah, it was such a... I know it was, again, a bit like what you said, Gordy, about the last night's game with the Titans and the Roosters. It was two halves. But the ends of, the ending in both matches were really just edge-of-the-seat stuff. And that, provided teams are in the contest, that's all you want. So this hysteria we jump on sometimes about, oh, we've got to have rests and we've got to Origin just cruise the competition, the players can still put on good games.
Yeah, and if you take out the scoreline, they were entertaining. You know what I mean? Like, then, even though they were behind, like the tries they were scoring, and you think, okay, well, if we get a fair bit of footy, and that was, you know, cool on the game with Brandy the other night on Fox, and you just saw him, you know, like he was dirty in the first half, then mate, they had a chance of winning the game. They should have won the game. And, like, the Titans shouldn't have won, then we shouldn't have lost.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Mate, we shouldn't
that
have
Ikevalu
won.
That try, that Mac Ikevalu try, that was shades of you on the dance floor in the old days at Sugar Reef, yeah. Anthony. That front flip, and he got the ball down inside the line.
Yep.
And,
they're just great games. And those opportunities where a team is going to lose, then they're going to win, and the fans, both fans feel like they had a chance, and they walk away, and they walk away like they've been invested in the game, and that's all you want. There's nothing worse than those games, you know, where one team just doesn't turn up, and you wonder why.
Gordy, can we go back again? The performance of Jarrad Waitrea Hargraves yesterday.
Like, well, it's his 250th game.
He played
tries.
80 minutes, right? Yeah. He came up with a couple of absolutely sensational goal line defensive plays to save tries. And aside from that, I mean, to be doing it for as long as he has in the hardest position on the field, it's just a credit.
And everything we spoke about 10 minutes ago, he pushes his own buttons. You know, say, oh, mate, so Tavita picks when he's playing against Jason Tamalolo, or he's playing against David Fifita, or he's playing against the Roosters, and
Jared gets it every week, doesn't he?
He just presses that button every week. And the problem is him, some days you go, God, I hope he didn't press it too hard, because he goes over the line. And for him to be, 250 games, to play what he did last night was outstanding. A big guy in the middle of the ruck. And then don't forget the Titans had all the ball in the second half and they were coming, so it would have been tiring for anybody.
He's integral to them. Some years back now, but there was a statistic couple of years back that of all the players in the Roosters outfit, their winning percentage dropped most when he wasn't in the side.
Right.
So normally it's with the halves, the playmakers in the team. But with the Roosters, it was him. And that's how important he is, and that's the platform he sets. And to be able to go out and continue to perform, because there's a couple of years back there we thought, you know what, he might have just about over revved the engine here.
He come off a knee, he come off a knee reconstruction, and I reckon it took him a good 12 months to get back.
And in hindsight, hurts because he's so big. That's probably why it took so long.
Yeah,
but he's found his mojo again. Oh, we use that word all day.
Yeah.
Well, a good run today, mojo.
Boys, that's the name of the show.
You've always had good mojo.
I have, mate. You've seen me dance.
Triple mojo we are today.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Triple mojo. Yeah. But, I mean, I always carry a fair old swag of mojo with me.
Yeah. I know. You keep it in your pocket.
Panthers 24 points.
That one's in those rockets.
Look at the top four. Panthers are on 24. Storm on 22 with a game to play. Souths on 22. And Parramatta with a game to play on 20. But the Gold Coast Titans at the moment are in 13th position on 10 points. How do you think the team will look back and
I'm disappointed,
review the year?
Well, I think our attack's starting to click, and we watched that against the Melbourne Storm, and the Roosters, two of the better defensive sides, but defensively we still leak too many points. So as what Paul was saying earlier, it's half of the game. And, you know, I think we're still letting in about 30 points every week, which is just unacceptable.
Far too much in the modern game.
Yeah, far too much. And I'm sure that they're working on it. I've only been a trainer once in the last 7 years.
But right.
I'm sure they're out there working really hard on Anthony. It's like, why don't you kick them while they're down, mate?
I didn't say anything about them. You raised it.
You're calling it Fortress Robina. Calling it Fortress Robina.
My beautiful wife was driving and she goes, why does Maroon just hate us so much?
No, I don't.
And she said there was so much joy in his voice when the Roosters hit the front.
No, that's completely wrong.
The one and
wrong.
Only time you've ever cheered for the Chooks.
No, I don't. Look, you guys were all turning on each other before. Let's do that. Let's go that way today. Don't start on me, okay? We'll have updates for that score, the game that starts at 2 o'clock today. But it's Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, Triceps Hooper and Maroon. We do it for our good mates at Sea-Doo. Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why Sea-Doo is Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft. Have they been in touch with you about those ads yet, Hoopsie?
I'm still waiting for the phone call.
I'm sure it's coming.
Email. I know you're the king of emails.
I know those ads need to get updated. We'll do that for you shortly. As Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back as we do it live from the beautiful Bankwest Stadium in Parramatta. Congratulations to Manly. They continue to win 52-18 over the Cowboys. Sharks 19, Panthers 18, Roosters 35, Titans 34 up there at Fortress Robina. And Rabbitohs 24, Knights 10, 3 tries to AJ. Raiders 38, Broncos 16.
At least we have a home ground.
We are. We do too. We won the premiership there 7 years ago, Palooka.
We're Redfern. So you've moved, 40K away from your home ground?
Mate, it doesn't matter.
That's awesome.
Our team won the premiership in 2014.
Yeah, where? At Redfern
Oval.
Your team
won't win the premiership before 2114.
Stop making stupid bets.
So let me just do my job and turn on each other like you were doing earlier. Warriors Storm will be at 2 o'clock. Para Tigers, Dogs, Dragons. And hello, we said we'd say a quick good day to everybody at Apricity who we were up there at Townsville. No, that's Gordy's client, Trevor and Gav and all the gang up there
you
at Apricity.
Anthony?
Lyndon.
Lyndon, that's it. Because what happened was we bought a spot, so we were going to Melbourne.
Oh, we bought.
Well, Apricity, so that's the company that I work with. And then anyway, so we walk into this corporate area. Who's the host? Maroon. Mm. Well, he had kids. He saw me there.
Closest he's never got to an invoice.
We're going to have to change our even close to get Maroon to invoice.
There was going to be Maroon confidential later, but I'll ruin it now. But apparently on the way out, he said to the blokes at a press, he said, can I just have a look at one just to see what they look like?
You've got it all wrong. I was just up there doing my job.
Yeah.
Boys, for the NRL, thanks again, Tyson and Soph. No doubt we'll be getting together again later in the year. Now, let's get one of the stars of the NRL at the moment. We haven't had much of a chance to speak to him over the last 12 months, but he's on the phone. Jack Whiten, welcome to the Sunday Sin Bin.
Afternoon, guys. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations, mate. Talk us through Matthew Tomoko. That's the first I'd really seen him play.
Yeah, mate, he done a great job for us last night. He's very strong and he's athletic human, so he was very good for us last night.
Jack, take us into the dressing room after the game. You've jagged your second win, I think in 9 rounds. What was the feeling and do you think it feels like it's changed things?
That's it, mate. We've got to win and that's how we wanted to start after having that week off. You know, the boys refreshed and we just had to forget everything that happened and we just got to roll with that now, you know, and what's happened's happened. We can't change it, so that's definitely the way we're going to look at it.
Mate, Ricky said on a few occasions, obviously, no matter what's said in the press, you guys are still really close and, you know, want to have a real crack at this competition.
We're good boys down here, mate. You know, we've got a good gang down here, and that's one thing I love about the club. We always had a good bunch of blokes, so in them tough times, it makes that a little bit easier having good blokes like that. So we're in it for the big haul and going to try and give it a red hot crack, mate. There's only one win, but that's where you got to start.
Have you spoken about how tough that's going to be, Jack? The fact that there's you've given some start to some of the teams, like most of us had, you've slotted in as a top four side. Is that still a possibility?
I think the big trick at the moment is 1 week at a time, mate. You start looking at finals and all that kind of stuff, you're getting ahead of yourself. we know how easy it is to win with how how easy it is to lose with how fast the game's gotten. So just take it 1 week at a time, and if we keep ticking them off and worrying about ourselves, that's the only way we're going to get the big task done at the end of the day.
Have things settled down now?
Yeah, mate, it's, you know, them tough times, they do hurt a little bit, but just all about rallying around each other and getting the boys on the same page and going again. That's all you can do.
How important was it, Jack, for you to go on with it in the second half? Because we've seen the side over the course of the last couple of months lead in several games, at times against, you know, premiership heavyweights like Penrith, and then you haven't been able to go on with it in the second 40 minutes. How important was that?
That was a big mental breaker, to be able to come out. I think it was about a 5 minute patch. We went into a little bit of a lull on the back foot, wasn't getting off the line, and we had that feeling again, you know, and it was good to see all the boys change it and get on the front foot and actually finish a game. Because as you said, we've beat class teams for half a game and then let them roll us in the second half. So it was very important to get that done.
Yeah, that has been the big difference. What did you guys do differently in the game? Because was there someone who was there to identify it? Was there someone there? Was it like a rallying call that, guys, look, this is where we've got to in the past and where we've let the game slip away. Let's not do that again. How did you get it right this time that you haven't in others?
Just everyone's buy-in, mate. Just we all just got on the same page. It's pretty much that simple. We can all play football, but being on the same page and it is what got us home last night. As I said, it's only 1 week. We're not getting ahead of ourselves by any means, but you got to appreciate the wins when you get them, because you don't know when you get the next one.
Yeah, from an outside point of view, Jack, you could certainly see the relief at full time. But another thing that I found interesting with the players was that Josh Hodgson got you all together on the stroke of half time and actually spoke to the group before you headed into the sheds. What were his main messages there?
Hodgo's one of the best leaders at the club, mate, on and off the field, and has been since he's come. He's very good at being a leader, and he just basically pulled us together, and you know, he spoke to his couple of young boys, and with them a couple of little things creeping in, there's a couple of unneeded offloads and a little bit of a sloppy defence and not getting off the line, you know, just hit the nail on the head before it started going too much.
It's been a debate today, Jack, the Kobe Hetherington send-off. What were your thoughts on that?
I haven't seen it, mate. Oh yeah, sorry.
No. It was in your game.
sorry. You lost me for a second there, please.
No, Kobe Hetherington, not Jack, yeah.
You know what, it was on one of our players and I feel for him. He can't disappear. You know, everything happens at such high speed and I'm a pretty big one for, you know, the faster they make the game, there's more of these little things that are going to happen, and it could have been a penalty, but getting sent off, it was a bit harsh even from someone on the Raiders team, you know, so that's why I've seen it.
Hey, Jack, can I just rewind back to the State of Origin in Townsville, mate? That's probably the first time it's gone to a regional area, mate. What did you guys think of it?
Mate, it was awesome. And you know, just as much as me, Townsville and top areas, they love football more than anyone, you know, so it was pretty hostile. That you could really hear the Queensland base behind them and that, and it was really good to go there and get a win.
In games like that, mate, there's often a point where you get to a certain point where you think, you know what, we're in control here and we're dictating and we're just about to break their spirit. At what point during that game the other night did you start to feel that way?
Yeah, I don't know, mate. I can't really pinpoint. It's just the boys are on. I don't know if there was a moment, but the boys are really good, you know, and they done exactly what we planned, and they don't always get games like that, so I can't really pinpoint that moment, but yeah, everybody done their exact role, and that's what brought it together like that.
What about the next game now in Queensland? Has there been talk about going into the first two games in Queensland, which hasn't happened in nearly 40 years? What sort of talk was there behind the scenes in camp about going and basically shoving one up the Queenslanders by winning the series with two games in Queensland?
Yeah, we knew it was going to be a tough trot to try and do it, but you know, one thing it was definitely said was that first game means nothing, you know. No one remembers a score in an Origin. It's about trying to get the next couple done, so that one's pretty much, you know what I mean, you put that one in the bank and we just got to go again, and as you said, that will be the ultimate goal to try and knock both off.
Okay, so when you go into camp, and we often hear coaches over the years talk about going into camp and you build through the campaign, so by game three, all the combinations are working, all the rest of it. How do you get ready for this game two and try to leave out the memory of a 50-6 drubbing?
Oh, it's pretty easy, mate. With the history of Origin, Queensland's got the upper hand on us so many times. It's that game's definitely done and dead, mate. We know it's it means nothing, and we won game one before and then lost the next two. So over the history, so
yeah,
it's pretty easy at Origin, mate. It's a beast of a game, and we know there's a tough task coming up.
And that's the tough part, isn't it, about Origin? As brutal as the game is, you have such a resounding win like you did. You've got to go back to basically square one for game two.
Straight back to the start, mate. That's it. That's, 8 weeks just so different this year in the comp too. Like with all the changes and what's happening. I think Origin was ref very well, though. It was awesome to see the way it flowed.
Mm. Hey, Jack, you're pretty lucky to get coached by Ricky. Obviously, he's a great half. But what has Freddie taught you, mate? You spent last year in Origin and a bit of time this year, mate. What's something that you can take from Brad?
Sticky's very upbeat and emotional and on the front foot with everything, you know. And Freddie's a lot of control and calmness and, you know, being in the moment. And I think that's something I've really taken is just learning to control what's going on around me and being in the moment, I think, is what I get out of being coached by Freddie.
All right, Jack, all the best, mate, for the Raiders for the remainder of the season. 1 week at a time, you might be on your way back.
Yeah, that's it, mate. That's all we can do. Cheers, mate. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, Jack Whiten, joining us from the Canberra Raiders here live at Bankwest Stadium. Our 4 o'clock match of the day, Parramatta take on the West Tigers. And, of course, at 2 o'clock, we'll have updates of the scores between the Warriors and the Melbourne Storm. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James Triceps Hooper and Maroon here. We better take a little bit of a break and come back. I think we're going to do the quiz next as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Cindy. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to Bankwest Stadium. Thanks to our mates at Sea-Doo, Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Maroon here. And I think we might just do this right now.
Welcome to Maroon's Trivia Night.
Well, this is an interesting one today, boys. We've got all questions. As I saw David Middleton, the Channel 9 man, the rugby league historian and statistician. I said to Middo, what sort of stats do you know about who's been winning Maroon's quiz on Triple M? He said, well, just off the top of my head, he said that you, Hoops, as we said last week, you've only won on
Ducks
seven.
Ducks of the class.
Yeah. He said you've only won on seven occasions, but...
Seven, no, is it?
Ooh. No, it was two.
Yeah. I thought it was a bit less than that.
Your winning ratio of what... at an actual stadium is much better. So we're at a stadium today.
Okay.
So he said, Mido said, why don't you pull out some questions that he's had before?
Okay.
So let's do questions that Hoops has got right. That's what's going to be the quiz topic today. Okay? And your names are your buzzer, Hoops. This is a big test for you.
You're a pelican.
All right, here we go. Question number one. Your name is your buzzer. Dean Young is on the coaching staff.
Boys.
Yes, Paul.
Cowboys.
Well, it's already 1-0. Question number two. What is the capital of New Zealand?
Paul. Wellington.
And it's already 2-0. Come on, Gordy.
I said Gordy twice.
Fair dinkum, you two. Honestly. Okay.
I'll sit this one out because I don't want to have three questions. I'll sit this one out. We'll put the silver medal up for grabs now.
All right.
Okay, I'll put my buzzers down.
All right.
Do you know what, Maroon? You just, because Hoops, I think, won the first one.
Yeah.
And I reckon I might have won the second. You just say, Kenty, you're scared of Paul.
No, you guys are just, too quick for you two. I mean, you're sitting over there with your chitty chitty bang bang hat on. I don't know where you got
it's a
that.
A peaky blinders. A peaky blinders hat. Bang bang.
It looks like Dick Van Dyke.
Well, listen, it's better than wearing a beanie.
Hello.
Oh, mate.
Dick Van Dyke. Okay. What
this segment's flying.
What chockey bar is promoted? What chockey bar is promoted with the slogan, have a break?
Gordy.
Yes.
Kit Kat.
2-1. I will remind you, Hoops, you've got these right before.
Anthony, you've put something
you are
on that.
You are.
You've cooked
here
that
we
up.
Go. All right. Your name is your buzzer. What American band sang the song Teenage Dirtbag?
Paul. Wheatus.
And there it is again. There we go. Congratulations.
I'd be embarrassed to know that the answer to that question.
Oh, mate. Seriously?
It's an ordinary solo.
I used to be able to do the solo.
Yeah,
well, you did. mate, just think there's a few bars now, Paul.
because I could do the little girl voice, you know.
Go on, Charles, go give us some, Paul.
Two tickets to Iron Maiden, yeah. So, no, I'm not going to do it.
It's a very popular Triple M song.
Is it?
Mate, anything with guitar is good. Mate, seriously, you wouldn't know it, Gordon. You sit up there in your little, pop. Princess. Punky stuff you listen to.
50 Cent and...
Only like
Mariah Carey.
Country and Western.
J-Lo.
Yeah, Country and Western.
Oh, right, mate, mate, that joke's old enough. Kids.
It was only Saber Ruin got it.
Mate, that was in the Blues Brothers in 1980.
I like every... sort of all music, but I like the 80s.
Right.
Well, that's late where this 80s is from.
Yeah, I didn't like that one. That one didn't... I wouldn't have bought that cassette. that wouldn't have went in the old Toyota Corolla. That wouldn't have got a start.
I sat in the old Toyota Corolla. I did a story on Gordy, but was it year? What year did we figure out? 94, was it?
Yeah, 93, or 94.
93 or 94.
When you were on Hurstville Council.
No, I was working at the Aboriginal Legal Service in Cleveland Street.
He picked me up with the big
pond. We went out to Minda or Yasma, one of the boys.
What happened out there?
Gordy, I wanted to do a story on Gordy. He was coming through just, tearing the game apart. This big sort of, indigenous blonde afro. Like, it was hard to describe. And so I rang up and said, mate, I want to come and do a yarn on you. And he goes, yeah, righto. Well, I'm going to Minda to talk to the boys on Tuesday or whatever it was. I'll pick you up on the way through. So I just walked out the street and pulled up in his little Toyota and we jumped in.
It was like a 1970 something.
I was an oldie, mate, it was held together with paper clips and rubber bands.
Oh, mate, it broke down. I just got out in Redfern and left it there. Caught the train. It broke down for the last time. I just caught the train. Yeah.
And when he came back the next day, all was left was a rego plate.
All right, boys. Not even that. We'll take a break. Come back with our two as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the footy. The Sunday sin bin for Sea-Doo. Susie sells seashells by the seashore. Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.